Mark chapter 10 and verses 46 through 52. The scripture reads, "And they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Father, I pray this morning that you bless your word. Lord, over the next few moments as your word is preached, I'm asking, Lord, that you endue me with power and wisdom. That, Lord, you endue all of us with a heart of understanding and receptivity. Father, we're here because we want to hear. We need to hear. We must have the touch of God upon our life. So, Father, please, meet with us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You can be seated. Young man had worked for years with the railroad, and he wanted a job as a signalman for the railroad, so he applied for the job. When his interview time came, he was told to meet the inspector at the signal box. The inspector asked him, "What would you do, young man, if you realized that two trains were headed to each other on the same track?" The young man said, "Well, that's easy. I would switch the points for one of the trains." The inspector then asked him, "Well, what if the lever broke?" The young man said, "Well, then I'd jump down out of the signal box and I'd use the manual lever right over there." Well, next the inspector said, "Well, what if the manual lever had been struck by lightning? It would not break." The young man said, "Well, then I would run to the signal box and I would phone the next signal box to let them know what was happening." The inspector continued, "Well, what if the phone was busy?" "Well, in that case, I would rush down out of the signal box and I would use the public emergency phone at the crossing up there." And then the inspector said, "Well, what would you do if the public emergency phone had been vandalized?" The young man said, "Oh, well, then I would run into town and I would get my uncle." Well, that kind of puzzled the inspector. So he asked, "Well, why in the world would you go to town and get your uncle?" The young man answered, "Well, that's simple. Because my uncle's never seen a train crash before." There's a lot of us in here that you're coming in here and you know you're trying. Okay, I'm going to try this, but that's not working. And I'm going to try this, but that doesn't seem to be working. And then I'm going to try this method, or I'm going to try that counselor, or I'm going to try this location, or I'm going to try this secret, I'm going to read that book. And all of them are failing. And behind all of this is the sense that there's a crash that's about to happen. And more than likely it is. Well, this morning, as you can see all around you, the year of 2015 at Somerville Baptist is a year of hope. Not hope that our life is going to be remedied, but hope in that God is going to transform our life. Not hope in some spiritual guru, hope in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the passage of Scripture that we're looking at today is a story of a man that is looking for one thing. Hope. This story is a man that he wakes up, Bartimaeus. He's hoping that every day will not be the same the way it's always been. Bartimaeus gets up every single morning. Every single morning Bartimaeus gets up, he awakes in darkness. Complete and total darkness. Hope that sitting by the road begging for money would not be his lot for the rest of his life. Hope that he could see the colors of the spring, the flashes of lightning, a desert storm, the brilliance of a sunset, the faces of those that he loved most dearly. Hope. Every day began the same for Bartimaeus. Every day consisted the same way for Bartimaeus. every day ended the same for Bartimaeus until today. When you look at this passage of Scripture, it says right in the beginning of verse 46 of Mark chapter 10, they came to Jericho. Jericho is a very important city at this point in time in history. Jericho is about 17 miles outside the city of Jerusalem. It sounds like not very far today, but that was a day's journey back in the day we're talking here from Jerusalem. And Jericho, where it was situated, it was on the main commercial trade route for that entire part of the world. It was the main north-south trade route coming out of Egypt, Africa, and headed up into Asia. The Middle East is how we'd refer to it, which was a very, very, very important trade route at that point in time. So it would be logical for a lot of beggars, it would be logical for a lot of people to be sitting at the gates, both the entry and exit gates of this city, because so many people would be coming through. But today was even more important. Because in the day that he's talking now that we're looking at, people are coming from all over the world to observe Passover. And so Jews from all over are coming in now, and they're walking right through the city of Jericho to get to Jerusalem. And so Bartimaeus is probably doing the math. And the math he's probably doing is, listen, now is really going to be an important time because I'm going to go there, I'm going to sit, I'm going to beg. And this religious crowd, these Jews headed, they tend to be probably more of a little bit of a sympathetic lot, particularly at this time of the year. It's kind of the picture for us. You ask yourself, why does Salvation Army set up in front of Walmart at Christmas time? Because they know it's during that period of time that we'd be more apt to give. In fact, to me, it's become just something. Whenever I walk by one of those, I want to put something in. I want my kids to learn that. Well, Pastor, you never know where all that money goes. Look, that's not my business. That's theirs. I just want to know that every time I have an opportunity to give, that you give. Well, that's really what Bartimaeus is kind of feeding off right here, is that he's sitting outside the gate on this time when everyone's coming to Passover. And so he's hoping that something, at least his income, will be a little bit more. But then as he's sitting there, you have to understand, a blind man, perhaps even from birth, it's been a long time, his ears pick up on things that you and I would never pick up on. And his ears pick up on the fact something's different. The crowd, I can sense it getting larger. And it wasn't just the crowd getting larger, it was a crowd getting much more intense. And it got of such a level of intensity and such a loudness that finally he reaches out and he grabs a person's robe on the way by in his blindness, and he says, hey, listen, what is it that's going on? What's happening? And they turn, you don't know? And they look down and they see that he's blind. Okay, well, you can't know. It's Jesus. Jesus, the rabbi, is coming into Jericho now. He just came in the other side of the city, and he's headed this way. He's headed out of the city now. And then it strikes Bartimaeus that he's right on the route that Jesus Christ is coming by. You study Luke chapter 18, Bartimaeus, the parallel passage of this, Bartimaeus knew very well who Jesus was. See, Bartimaeus had heard, by this point in time, Jesus was somewhat of a celebrity throughout all of Israel at this point in time. He was well known. He was very popular. If he had had a television ministry, it would have been raking in a lot of money at this point in time, because his popularity had grown with all the miracles. He had heard, don't tell me, Bartimaeus by this point in time, he had heard of him turning the water into wine. He had heard the start of his public ministry. He had heard of him casting out the demons. He had heard of him healing the people of palsy and of leprosy. He had heard of the lame walking. He had heard of the mute talking. He had heard of the deaf hearing. He had heard all those things. But let's face it, none of those things really impacted. All those miracles that Jesus was performing along those lines weren't going to change Bartimaeus' life. It was the three incidences that he had heard of, one of them just 2 days before. You see, by this point, news had probably traveled fast because of where Bartimaeus is sitting in this cosmopolitan kind of business epic center in Jericho. He had heard. He had heard about the man who, in Jerusalem, Jesus Christ had taken mud and with spittle, he had rubbed it together and he put it on the man's eyes. And at first, the man couldn't see well. See, he put it back again, and then he told the man to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and the man could see. He'd have been heard about the two blind men all the way up in Galilee, the blind men that could not, they had no hope of ever seeing anything but black for the rest of their life. And they didn't even know what black was. They had no ability to distinguish anything of color. And Jesus Christ had healed those two. And it was just 2 days before this in the little village of Bethsaida. In Mark chapter 8, you'll find that passage where Jesus Christ once again healed a man of blindness. And now he was here. What was beautiful about this is that there was no way Bartimaeus and his blindness could ever get to Jesus Christ. But the miraculous part of this is that Jesus Christ had now come to him. What a coincidence. Man, what a chance. What an opportunity. And let me tell you what happened here. Bartimaeus did exactly the same thing that you and I would do. You know what he started doing when you heard there was going to be Jesus Christ coming through? That Jesus Christ was only going to be probably 20 or 30 feet for just a few moments, but he was going to come near for just a few moments. He started doing what you and I would do. I know I would do it. He started yelling at the top of his lungs. Before, he would shake his maybe little tin cup, and he would be sitting on the side, and he would say it, alms, alms, alms for the blind, alms for the poor. But not this time. This time, it was someone who could not just give him money. This is someone who could transform his life. This is not someone who could help his day. This is someone who could change the rest of his days. So he starts screaming at the top of his lungs, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. At the top of his lungs, making a complete spectacle of himself. I will tell you this. Hope has a way of giving us courage to overcome the fear of other people. And for the very first time, in years at least, Bartimaeus was experiencing something he had not felt. Hope. I'd like to give you several points here from this passage of Scripture of how Bartimaeus experienced hope and how you and I can come to the place of experiencing hope in our life as well. Number one, I want you to see this about Bartimaeus. If you're going to experience the hope that Bartimaeus experienced in this passage of Scripture, then you must come to the same place he did. And you must believe that Jesus Christ can heal. You must believe that Jesus Christ can heal. Bartimaeus, for us to experience hope, we have to believe what Bartimaeus believed. Bartimaeus had heard of Jesus. He had heard all the stories of Jesus Christ. He had heard the public testimonies. He knew the words of the people who told their stories. Let me tell you, the difference, for Bartimaeus is not that he heard. The difference for those of us sitting in this auditorium this morning or watching by live stream or later on, it'll be through the radio ministry, is not that we have not heard. The difference is whether or not we will believe what we heard. The Scripture is very plain about this. John chapter 5 and verse 24, it says, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of God, and they that hear shall live. John 20 and verse 31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. I think it's wonderful that you came to church today. I think it's fantastic that you chose to worship with us today. But coming to church isn't going to change you. Now some of you men are nudging your wife. See, I told you. No point in us coming today. No. The question is whether or not you're going to believe in the person you're hearing about. Because if you do not believe, then what you hear makes absolutely no difference. What you hear can go one in one ear, out the other. You can put it out in front of someone, but you cannot make them partake of truth. So I'm asking you today, do you want to experience hope? Your home, does it need to experience hope? Then you must believe it. Your marriage, does it need hope? Then you must believe that Jesus Christ can heal it. Your child that is wandering and going away, do you want to experience hope? Then you must believe that Jesus Christ can change that. Secondly, you learn this lesson from Bartimaeus, not only that he believed that Jesus Christ can heal, but understand, then you must acknowledge your need of healing. Bartimaeus, he lost all sense of pride. I mean, it went out the door. All fear of man, all pretense of social restraint. I mean, it was gone. He only knew two things. Bartimaeus knew two things. He knew, number one, that he was blind. He knew he couldn't see. But the second truth that he knew is that the one who could change that was coming near. Let me ask you a question, dads. When you see Bartimaeus sitting here and he knew that the hope of change, that the promise that tomorrow was going to be different, the promise that transformation, the blindness, the darkness would be gone, That hope would insert itself where only blackness had been before. Do you blame him for screaming out? Do you blame him? The scripture says that many people tried to stop him. The scripture is very plain that many said, Bartimaeus, please, you're making a spectacle. He did not even hear them. In fact, if he did hear them, it was only a motivation to do it more. In fact, the scripture says, and he did it so much the more, a great deal. In other words, this guy was making a scene. Oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. Dads, can I ask you a question? Is your marriage not more important than the perception of being cool? Mothers, can I ask you a question? Are your children, is your family not more important than being perceived to be in your social circles and the communities in which we live? Young people, is it not more important to live your life with power and with purpose, to allow God to do something God-sized in your life, than it is to impress that group of friends that you're constantly trying to fit in with around you? At what point does transformation, at what point does healing, at what point does hope come to the place that it says nothing else compares? I don't care for anything else. I will tell you, for many of us, we're going to lose something. There's things that's going to be taken away from us that it's going to be very hard, if ever, to retrieve if we don't recognize that while Jesus Christ is coming near, acknowledge your need to Him now. Make it known. Oh, Pastor, I don't think I could ever acknowledge that I have a need to have sins forgiven, that I can't do this on my own. Well, I will tell you, until you come to that place, you better figure out how to prepare for the train crash, because there's not a one of us that can do it on our own. Bartimaeus experienced hope, experienced transformation. He saw the sunset for the very first time in his life. Why? Because he believed that Jesus Christ could heal. Because he acknowledged his need of healing. Thirdly, and this is very important, if you're going to experience hope like Bartimaeus did, then persistence and perseverance has to be practiced. Look, if you will, at verse 48 of Mark chapter 10. It said, and many charged him. Now he's crying out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him. In other words, they were trying to quiet him down. They were almost yelling back at him, trying to get him to shut up, that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He kept on and he kept on and he kept on. He wouldn't stop. He didn't know how far Jesus Christ was away. He didn't know how close Jesus Christ was. He just knew that Jesus Christ was coming near enough that he was going to hear his voice. And so he kept on, and he kept on, and he kept on. And even when it seemed darker, he kept on. Even when those were against him, he kept on. The Bible has much to say about perseverance. The Bible has much to say in you and I. They tried to stop him, but they couldn't. And I want to tell you that perseverance, persistence, is one of the great keys to see God working mightily in your life. He takes notice of those who keeping on. How do we know this? In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 8, the scripture reads this way. It says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened. You see this on the screen. I want to explain something to you for just a moment. I'm not trying to act like I'm smarter than anybody, but I have a great privilege that I'm able to study the Word of God through the week. You allow me to do that through the way that you sustain your pastor, and I appreciate it. And so it's my job to bring forth exposed Scripture. So let me say this. When you read this passage, this Scripture verse, sometimes we'll read it and we'll say, okay, well, Lord, I asked, but I didn't receive. And I saw it, but I didn't find it. I knocked, but it wasn't open. So I'm not really sure how that verse fits. Well, you need to understand something about the language that's being used here. If you go back to this original language, you'll find that the word asketh is written in a progressive sense. And what I mean by that, it means it's an action that continues on for an indefinite period of time. So this is literally what it's saying. It says, for everyone that keeps asking, receiveth. And for everyone, and he that seeks and keeps seeking findeth. And to him that knocketh and keeps knocking, it shall be opened. He's making the message very plain. He's saying, look, don't just ask. You keep asking. Don't just seek. You keep seeking. Don't just knock. You keep knocking. It's the one who keeps seeking that's going to find it. It's the one who keeps knocking that it's going to be open. Because the Lord is testing our resolve. He's testing really our faith. He's trying to build us up to the place that we understand that it's not about us. It's not our power. It's not our faith that's conquering. It's our faith in who it's placed in, and that's Jesus Christ. And He's wanting to see how serious we are about this issue. Don't think for a second He's not listening. He reiterates this point in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29. He says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him if thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. It's been several years ago now. Maxine Evans is Abby Jenkins' grandmother. Maxine's no longer with us. The Lord called her home. Remember when I first met Maxine, she came to church. We were in the other auditorium, and Maxine's one of those people that, I mean, she wakes up talking. She goes by the way talking. She lies down talking, and when she sleeps, she's talking. It's just talk. Never crossed, for me, she was always kind, but I can remember sitting in her house making visits, and I never had to say a word. It's one of the easiest visits. The only thing I had to work out was staying awake and staying engaged with her stories, because she just talked. Every time we would close the visit, she would always say, Pastor, Haskell needs to be saved. Pastor, he needs the Lord. That was a constant heart cry of her. I would go over to visit with Haskell. When I go over to visit with Haskell, I would walk in the front door, and then all of a sudden, you would hear the truck in the backyard crank up, and Haskell would drive off. Oh, I thought it was an insurance. So, Haskell, don't be lying about it, all right? I get what you're doing. Just don't lie about it. He would try to escape. Now, even to this day, he'll tell you it's not true. I'm telling you, he knows it's true. I would witness to him. He'd just kind of stonewall it. Well, that's good. That's nice. Over 50 years, Maxine Evans prayed for that man. I remember the call that I got. Haskell was down at UAB. And the call came that said, Pastor, he come down and talk with Haskell. He says he needs to talk with you. So I came down, and when I sat down, I said, Haskell, he said, Pastor, last night I had a dream, and I knew in this dream that I died and I went to hell. And I knew that if I died, I'd go to hell. He said, I could almost feel the demons reaching out for me. And he goes, and I had to talk with you. I even asked him, why didn't you talk with one of the chaplains? No preacher had to talk to you. I had to talk to my preacher. So right there beside that bed in the hospital, Haskell prayed and accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. It was only a few months. Nobody knew what was already taking place in Maxine Evans' body. Very aggressive form of cancer. But just a few months later, the Lord called her home. But she saw the answer to her prayer. For 50 plus years, that woman prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. God, please save my husband. God, please bring him back to our home. God, please change his heart. God, please get a hold of him. There had to be days and nights there that she said, what's the point? There had to be times that she says, Lord, I've kept on asking and you're not answering. You're not giving. Lord, I've kept on seeking and I'm not finding anything. I've knocked and you're not opening. And Lord, I'm angry and I'm upset. And Lord, I'm done. I will tell you to this day that the entire Evans family praises the Lord that she persisted. Mom, do not stop. Wife, do not stop. Father, don't stop. Child, don't stop. The reason that Bartimaeus experienced this miracle in his life, this transformation, this hope, is because he believed that Jesus Christ could heal. He acknowledged his need of healing, and he persisted and persevered in his practice. Leads us to our fourth point. If you're going to experience hope the way Bartimaeus did, you must expect Jesus Christ to bring hope and healing. This is a beautiful picture. Now, what I mean by expectation is this, that faith, true faith, leads to obedience. True faith leads to action. Faith, and I was speaking with someone about this past week, is much like love. I can tell you that I love you all day, but if my actions do not back up what I say, then there is obviously no love there. The same is true with faith. God is not so much interested in us expressing our faith as He is interested in us enacting our faith. Faith is seen as an action, not as a feeling. So I want you to notice now what happens. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49. I love these verses. And Jesus stood still. Do not think for a second coming in here that Jesus does not hear the cry of your heart. Do not think for a moment that He is not listening to what's coming off of your lips, what is speaking from your heart. He hears it. He is in tune with it. You've come in this morning, you're saying, Lord, I need my family. He hears that. Well, Jesus Christ heard. It was the day of transformation, so He stood still. He stopped in the way. By the way, perhaps today, He's coming to the place. Now you're here. You're not here by accident. You're here. He's brought you here on purpose. And now He's stopping. He's seeing if you're serious about your acknowledging, your believing, you're persisting for hope, for change, for healing. And then He looks in verse 49 and commanded him, Bartimaeus, to be called. He says, bring him to me. And they call the blind man. You're talking about the one who's screaming over there? Yeah, bring him to me. Saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Can I tell you this morning, I'm saying the same thing to you. You're coming today looking for hope. You're coming today looking for healing. Can I tell you something? Be of good comfort. He's calling for you. He's asking for you. But I will tell you, He's asking. And when He's asking for you, He's asking for you. He's asking for your life. He's asking for your will. He's calling for you. He wants to save you, but He wants you. Bartimaeus shows this. I want you to see a beautiful picture now of what happens. Verse 50. And he, every word in the Bible is inspired. So the phrase that now shows up is not by accident. In verse 50 he says, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now, beware of minimizing what was just said in verse 50. And this is why. Bartimaeus, more than likely, at this point in this culture, he had nowhere to go home to. Bartimaeus was a street dweller. He was homeless. So let me tell you about this garment. This garment that he casted off was probably the only piece of property that he owned in his entire life. It was his sense of security. It was his sense. It was his ability to stay warm in the middle of a desert night. It was his ability to have a pillow to sleep in. It was something for him to be able to say, I don't have much, but the one thing I have is this. I have this cloak. I have this coat, this garment. But when Jesus Christ called him, let me tell you what Bartimaeus did. And he almost probably did it subconsciously. He stood up. I don't know if he tripped over his coat. I don't know if it was grabbing onto something. Somehow, some way, that garment was impeding him getting to Jesus Christ. So whatever it was that was impeding him, in this case it was a garment, he said, I'm not going to allow anything. This is my one chance. This is my one hope. This is my one opportunity that today I'm going to see a sunset. Today I'm going to see my child's face. Today I'm going to see the colors of the springtime. Today is finally going to be different than any other day has ever been. And I'm not going to let this little coat stop me from getting to Jesus. So he rips it off, he throws it down, and he throws himself at the feet of Jesus Christ. Now I'm asking you this question. What is it that is holding you back from coming to Jesus Christ? What is it that's impeding you? Is it that house? Is it that car? Is it that job? Is it your own self-will? Is it this inability to say, Lord, you're in charge now, I'm not? Have you come to the place that life is so much about being in control that you're willing to stay in darkness just so you can say, but at least I'm comfortable in my pathetic security? If a person is going to come to Jesus Christ, then you have to come believing that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What you are afraid of losing to experience hope in your life. What is it that you're unwilling to give up to allow God to make the change that He wants to make? Is it a cigarette? Is it a drink? Is it some kind of drug? Is it some kind, is it pornography? Is it some kind of sexual addiction? Is it just simply not being able to keep to make certain that you're not taking things from others that don't belong to you? Is it lying? Is it dishonor? Is it just a rebellious attitude toward anything in authority in your life? What is it? And let me ask you this. Is it worth it to continue to live in hopelessness? Is it worth it to continue to live in this darkness, this lack of purpose and lack of vision? You know the answer to that. It's not. And the worst part of this is, for some of us listening to my voice right now, you're going to walk out of this auditorium today not responding to the invitation, not listening to the testimonies of hope and change that we're going to see in just a few moments. You're going to let it go by you. Jesus Christ is going to walk right by you because you're unwilling to release that garment. You let Him walk right on. Everything could have been different. That marriage, and you don't have... How often I see so many marriages that fall apart, they just unravel at the seams because one or the other of them are so unwilling to lay aside that filthy old flesh, that old security that they've been holding on to simply say, Lord, all I need, all I must have is You. I am begging You to let go of whatever you're holding on to grab a hold of the hope that's found in Jesus Christ. Expect Him to bring hope and healing. If you want to experience hope, persistence and perseverance has to be practiced. You have to acknowledge your need. You must believe that Jesus Christ can heal. And number five, you must make your request known. So Jesus Christ now is talking to Bartimaeus in verse 51. And in verse 51 it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Here's my question for you. Did Jesus Christ know what was wrong with Bartimaeus? Did he know? Yes, he knew. Can we get some air flowing in here, please? I've got myself worked up. I'm hot and having a hot flash. Cuddle up with a person beside you. Did Jesus Christ know? Yes, he knew. He knew Bartimaeus was blind. And he didn't know Bartimaeus was blind from seeing him. He knew Bartimaeus was blind because he knew Bartimaeus before Bartimaeus had ever been born. But he wanted to hear it from Bartimaeus' voice. Bartimaeus, what is it that you want me to do? I think there's a key reason why. Because we wanted to see if Bartimaeus was going to express to him his real need or something that was really secondary and maybe even superficial. Bartimaeus, the day and time which he's living, did he have money? No, he did not have money. He was begging on the side of the street. So Jesus Christ asked Bartimaeus, what is it that you would have me to do? Bartimaeus could have said to him, Lord, if I just had money, if I just knew that there was going to be food on the table, if I had a place to live, I don't have any place to live. If I had a place to sleep, a bed, a house, a living room. You know, I don't have a family. Nobody's going to marry a blind man. Nobody's going to look at this with any favor. If I just have somebody to love me. Are all those things that he could have used? Probably, yes. But that's not what he needed. That's not what was going to transform his life. Listen to me very closely. You don't need your marriage put back together. You need Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and to save your soul. You don't need your home to be put back aright. You need Jesus Christ to change you and to change your wife, to change your children's hearts so that home will come back together. The problem is not your perceived need, the real need is our forgiveness of sin and our new life, becoming a new creature in Jesus Christ. But He wants to hear that from your lips. And that's the reason in Romans chapter 10 He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When a person prays, it's the reason it's very important in the prayer of salvation that you vocalize to God, Lord, I need my marriage put back together, but that's not what I primarily need. I need You. My marriage will be put back together when I and she give our heart to Christ. I need You, Lord. A specific believing request got a specific believing answer. And He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Number six, and we're finished. Bartimaeus experienced hope that day because he believed that Jesus Christ could heal. He acknowledged his need. He persevered. He persisted in his practice. He expected Christ to bring him hope and healing. He made his request known. And then lastly, I love this scene now. Jesus Christ said, "You're healed. I give you sight." Now imagine with me for just a moment Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, now the scales come back off his eyes. His eyes once were somewhat probably crossed, or they were rolled up into his head. Now they come back into focus, and you can sense him starting to squint from light that he had never seen before. And as slowly his eyes are dilating to be able to adjust, to be able to absorb all that's being taken in. Imagine the beauty of the very first sight that Bartimaeus saw was the face of his Savior Jesus Christ. When the darkness was pulled back, the very first person that he recognized was the person who transformed his life. By the way, I will tell you this. When a person is truly saved, when a person is truly converted, the very first image that comes into their life, the very first picture that they see is the picture of the one who changed them. Jesus Christ has transformed my life. Now, this is what I love about this scene. Watch what happens now. Jesus looks at Bartimaeus and he says, "All right, you're healed. Now go your way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Go back now. Wherever your life is now, Bartimaeus, go back to it. Now you're going to be able to live life. You're going to be able to live in a better, a greater, a more fantastic way than you ever have. Now you can see. So go your way. I wrote this down in my notes. What I wrote down was this. When Christ looked at Bartimaeus, he said, "Go thy way." Jesus Christ's words said, "Go thy way." And if you look closely, Bartimaeus' life said that my way is your way. If you look at the end of the verse, it says, "And immediately he received his sight." What was his way? And he followed Jesus in the way. I will tell you, if you're going to experience hope in your life, then you must become a follower of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 9, he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." You know what I love about this? From then on, for the next week, in fact, you're coming right into the Passion Week, is right after this. From then on, Jesus Christ went around preaching and teaching. You know what's amazing about this? As Jesus Christ walked around preaching and teaching, you have to imagine that every once in a while, though he knew it, he wanted to see it, every once in a while, he would turn around. And when he turned around, there was Bartimaeus. He would walk a little farther, and some others he would heal, and others he would teach. And as he walked on a little farther, as he made his way now, his last journey to Jerusalem, he would turn around, and there was Bartimaeus. When we went to Chicago just a few weeks ago, we would walk around. As we were walking around downtown Chicago, I don't know what it is with my kids, but they couldn't keep their feet off of me. You know, you'd be walking, all of a sudden this foot would hit the back of your heel and jerk your shoe off. And I'm turning around and I'm saying, "Guys, come on, back off." And then I'd turn around if they were too far back. "Come on, man, speed up." Then they'd step on my shoes again. "Back off." And it was this constant tug of war. You know, you have to imagine that that's somehow the way it was with Bartimaeus. You see, he's showing his gratefulness. He's showing his appreciation. "Jesus Christ has changed my life, and I want to follow." So Bartimaeus, his eyes being open, he never wanted to take his eyes off Jesus Christ. And so everywhere that Jesus Christ walked, you had to imagine that every once in a while that the toes of Bartimaeus' sandals would catch the heel of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ would turn around and say, "Bartimaeus, if you're going to follow me, at least back off just a little bit." And Bartimaeus would look back at him with his eyes of love. "Oh, I'm sorry, Master, I'm sorry." And then Jesus Christ would turn around and start walking, and Bartimaeus would draw up again as close as he could. It's a picture of transformation. It's a picture of change. Jesus Christ would look back and see Bartimaeus, but here's my question. Those people that were telling him to shut up, "Hold your peace, Bartimaeus." You know what they saw every time now they saw Bartimaeus? They also saw that he was a follower of Jesus Christ. And being a follower of Jesus Christ and seeing the change in his life only drew others to come up to Jesus Christ as well. A missionary, doctor on the field many years ago, there's a man that came to him. He was very poor in the poorest area of Africa, and he was blind. This doctor had some experience in ophthalmology, and so he performed surgery on this man. The surgery was successful and his sight was restored. It was several days after the operation that the man disappeared from the hospital. Nobody knew where he went. He didn't say anything to anybody. And the doctor was kind of disappointed. He thought, I thought he'd show more gratefulness in this. Maybe he would serve around the compound here. Maybe he'd help us to be able to serve other patients coming in. And he never even said goodbye. He's just gone. Everybody was concerned for his well-being. It was several days later that there was a knock at the front door. The missionary went to the front door of his house and he opened the door. And there stood the man who had been operated on that he brought back sight to. Except this time the man was holding a rope. And on the other end of the rope were 10 other blind men who had come to experience the same healing. That's what Jesus Christ is asking of us. He did not change us for us to keep it to ourselves. He changed us to become a follower of Him. And a follower of Him looks on the multitude with compassion. Now I'm asking you, do you want change? I'm asking you, do you want hope that it's only going to be found in Jesus Christ? Believe that He can. Believe that He will. Expect Him to do. Persist and persevere. Acknowledge your need. Confess your sin. And then when He's made that change, follow Him for the rest of your life. Now, lest you think that change cannot happen, we're going to take a few moments here. Every year, we compile what we call the list. It's a famous list here at Somerville Baptist. And the list is all the decisions, salvations, rededications, memberships, baptisms, all those that happened over the past year. I want this church to understand. Members of Somerville, I want you to understand that God is working in a mighty way here at Somerville Baptist Church. I want guests to understand that God is doing something incredibly special here at Somerville Baptist Church. And we've tried to paint as graphic a picture of that today as we possibly can. It's going to take a few minutes, but you bear with us. It's going to be worth it. So today we want you to see that this is a place where hope has been found.